Geelong to all 32 NFL franchises. It says, my fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
For the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver.
Wow! There it is! For the first time since 2002, the Green Bay Packers have selected a wide receiver.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Goes to the end zone. It is a one-handed grab and a Texas touchdown by Matthew Golden.
You're setting up. Pump fake. It takes a shot. Middle of the field. He's got Golden. Golden makes the catch despite getting hit as the ball arrived by Terrell.
To stay alive.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So clearly he saw some sort of deficiency within that wide receiver room, and now he goes out and addresses it here. I think Packer fans everywhere are going to be thrilled with this pick.
Now broadcasting live from the shadow of Lambeau Field in Green Bay at the Tundra Trio with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight.
We are here at the Tundra Trio, just outside of glorious, majestic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the site of the NFL draft. And before we get to what we want to get to this morning, I want to take a moment and talk about how incredible Green Bay looked last night, gang. Every time on the ESPN broadcast, on the ABC broadcast, that they showed those drone shots, that they showed the aerial views of Lambeau Field and the stage and the fans, I got a little choked up. I got a little emotional. Because as much as we here in Wisconsin knew that Green Bay fans would show up and show out, and NFL fans would flock to these hallowed grounds, there were still questions about whether or not Green Bay should and could pull the dang thing off. And I got to say, Chew, I know you were watching last night on television. It looked glorious. Did it not, my friend?
Yeah, it did. It looked really cool. How many people were there? I know the corner of that parking lot and how big it is, but they, at least I didn't hear numbers, although...
So they released an official number last night, Chew. They released an official number last night.
Should we have him guess?
Yes.
Why don't we do some guessing, Chew?
Well, I can tell you this. My wife got an alert that they were shutting the area down because there was too many people.
So you could not
guess.
Chew, that you so you couldn't get into that main viewing area. I had a buddy that was in there. So he was in the stadium, and he said they weren't planning on opening, like, sections of, you know, the bleachers, and they just kept opening more and more sections because they didn't have anywhere to go for the people.
I mean, I'm going to guess 180,000?
That's a lot. When I played this guessing game with Joshy and Strofe in our drive back to our Airbnb last night, you are a lot closer than they were. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Higher.
Because I'm basing it upon if you emptied the stadium, which is roughly 80,000, and put it there, it's a little more than 260.
Jeez. All right, you overshot it. Still closer with the first one.
So on the first free throw, you missed the rim. On the second, you hit the roof.
You just threw it over the backboard.
Two bones.
There you go. 205,000 people, the official attendance yesterday at Lambeau Field for the draft.
I mean, it looked really, really good on TV.
Really good.
And they obviously weren't expecting that many people.
Right, exactly. I mean, I love that the... you know when you have like the narthex of the church, right?
Yes.
It's the spillover area. The narthex of the church was freaking Lambeau Field last night.
It was the stadium.
We can't hold you in the parking lot. Well, are you okay watching the draft from inside Lambeau Field? Everything was fantastic. I got a chance to be in the green room yesterday for our college game day coverage. Got a chance to chat with a lot of these young men before their names were called. We'll get to that as the show goes on. But, man, we were sitting out here on the stage, and Gabe, you were over here in the Airstream, so we were both sort of taking it all in. People constantly walking behind us from Lambeau Lambeau to parties or the parking lot to wherever they were going, it didn't stop. The energy was the entire time. And that really contributed to sort of the buildup for Green Bay. We're sitting on stage. We're talking about each of the picks. And we started to say this, Chew. I mean, it's starting to fall Green Bay's way. It's starting to fall where they're going to get a decent player. They're going to get a guy that came in for a visit. They're going to get a guy that's going to help the team. You should have seen, Chewy, Gabe's reaction when Shamar Stewart went off the board before the Packers picked.
I might have been more excited about that than actually picking Matthew Golden. The fact that Shamar Stewart wasn't going to be the pick. I think that made me even more excited.
Now, I went to bed around, let me see.
Tell the truth.
I didn't even see Dallas.
Do you know that the
Browns
traded the second pick?
I did know that. I did see that. Gave up a lot, but, you know, Trevor Lawrence needs a target like that, so I didn't think that trade was that bad. But when offensive linemen started to fall, especially some of these guys that weren't projected to go where they went.
Yeah.
Then I started to feel okay. I'm like, all right. I mean, I wasn't.
Well, your guy went off the board. You had really liked Derek Harmon, right? The kid from Oregon.
Well, I thought that's who they were going to go with. My question, and we can ask Jason this, would they have taken him if he fell to 23?
I don't know, because the one thing that Goody did say in his after pick press conference last night, Chew, is that they had, and I think it was obvious because the Packers were on the clock for
a long
9.5 of the 10 minutes.
Long time.
So they thought, Chew, the pick before them as well, the Chargers, were on the clock for all 10 minutes, clearly entertaining trade offers. And here's what Goody had to say about those trade offers.
There was a few that we were talking to, and there was some opportunity to move back. You know, they were tempting, but at the end of the day, we had a good player we all really wanted throughout the building, and I just thought it was the right thing to do that because, again, you know, when you move back, you it's unpredictable, you know, what's going to happen. So like, we had pretty good numbers, but I just thought this was the right thing to do.
No, totally the right thing to do. Totally, you know. See, the thing about speed is you can always find a place for speed. If a receiver runs a 4.5 and he's not very good, you really can't do anything with him. At least a guy that runs 4.29, let's say he's not what you thought he was, there's still a place for a guy with that much speed. So it's a safe pick. I want to know if they had a feeling that he would drop that far. I mean, we all had him going 3, right, behind Tet, and then Abuka goes to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Abuka going before him was a little surprising.
A little bit.
Well, I think that's the Ohio State effect. I think that's the Ohio State effect. That's what I think that is.
That's fair.
I think they're like, okay, Ohio State, they turn out good receivers. That was the safe one. I don't know. I love the pick. And you guys know I talked about it this week. I think it's a great pick. I give him an A.
So there are a couple.
That's a really good point, though. We do need to get to that.
What?
Well, what, that I was right?
There it is. We figured
Joshy was shaking his head. I don't think Joshy would have.
Chewy was
Joshy
right.
I got my guy though. Don't worry. Hey guys.
Why did you have a bet on how long it would take for me to take credit for the pick?
Honestly, you smashed the over. I thought those were going to be your first words.
I thought about it, but it's much better when you guys admit it first before
when we gradually just kind of be able to give you your flowers that way.
I'm taking 90% credit for your pick since I said
that's
his
a
name
lie
months ago. 90% credit.
I want to hear 10. The tape, and you know, you being the producing wizard you are, I still don't trust the date because you can doctor the thing anyway.
He wants to hear it, but if he hears it, he's not going to trust it because you're too good at your job, Josh. You're too good at your job.
Manipulated that sound, manipulated the date.
So there are a couple of things I really like about this pick. If you go to the Beast, a.k.a. the Draft Bible, and you look at the strengths, he played every position and was trusted to play every position by his coaches at Texas along the wide receivers. And that is something, when you look at the Packers who have been the best at wide receiver, Chew, in the Ted Thompson era, because, I mean, Goody hasn't drafted one like these guys. But whether it was Greg Jennings, whether it was Jordy Nelson, whether it was Devontae Adams, those guys were trusted to play all along the positions. They weren't just outside. They weren't just slots. They were, hey, this is a weapon, and we can put him wherever we want to be able to dictate a matchup that we're looking for. He's not going to be that right away, certainly.
No.
But if he has that potential to do that, that's exciting. Additionally, because of that, you mentioned speed. Like, if he's going to be able to come in and be that kind of everything guy, and then you have Christian Watson as well, like, having two fast guys on the field, well, turns out, is not illegal in the NFL.
No, like I said, the guy who's jumping for joy is Tucker Kraft. Because now he knows there's going to be clear outs, which is going to make his area so much softer. Christian Watson's dad just needs to shut his mouth. I don't know if we're going to get to that, but he really just needs to go away.
I didn't see it. Was he chirping last
buffoon.
Night?
He doesn't like to pick. He was on. I think he was doing some sort of like podcast with Christian's brother.
I mean, they're
brother,
buffoons. So his they other really kid, are.
And said something along the lines of they don't want to win. They deserve whatever they're going to get.
Okay, never mind. I don't even want to spend any more airtime on that. So yeah. Here's what I think people need to recognize. This was not a pick of desperation. This was not a, oh no, the board fell a certain way. We have to go in a direction we don't want to go. We were talking on set with the guys from ESPN 1000, Carmen Yurko, when the Bears picked. And they really thought that the Bears might continue bolstering their offensive line. And they said, oh, Kelvin Banks Jr. is there. Well, Kelvin Banks Jr., another kid from Texas, went with the pick before. So then Carmen Yurko were like, they probably go tight end here, right? And they were debating between Tyler Warren and the kid from Michigan that they ultimately ended up getting. I always forget his name. Loveland. I wanted to say Loveless, but it's Loveland.
Yeah. Loveland.
Okay.
The land,
land
of love,
not less love. Okay, so Loveland. That's not the situation the Packers found themselves in, guys, because maybe their edge options were off the board, okay,
think,
the guys that they liked.
Yeah.
But there were all of the cornerbacks on the board.
Yeah, huh?
So if they wanted to go defense, like they have in so many of Brian Gutekunst's drafts in the first round, they could have. They could have gotten any of the three, any of the cornerbacks that we had talked about on this program, including Max Hairston, including Will Johnson, although Johnson was falling because apparently Shefty said there
some
was a
sort of knee
injury, so maybe that's why he was falling on the board. The point is, this wasn't like, oh, hand-wringing, all of the picks we wanted are gone. Take the next best athlete, who you could argue was Matthew Golden, the number two ranked wide receiver, according to The Beast. I love that. I love that it didn't feel like we got stuck and, well, let's just give the fans what they want, a wide receiver. They actually wanted this guy.
What does Goody love? More picks. Mm-hmm. We know he wants more picks. He has said it multiple times in the lead up to the draft, and he had the opportunity to get some pretty good ones, according to him, right there. And they decided that this player was worth more than more picks, which is saying something coming from somebody who wants to collect as many picks as possible.
So let's hear. Go ahead, Shu.
He could be special. I mean, I compare him to like an Antonio Brown, who in his day was unstoppable, and then Tyreek Hill when he was with Kansas City. Unstoppable, you know. I think it's a great pick. Great pick.
So let's
and
hear from Matthew
nice
Golden.
That he had. It's nice that he didn't have to use resources to go up and get him.
So let's hear from Matthew Golden, the Packers pick at 23 last night, on how he thought he might become a Green Bay Packer.
I knew once I shook his hands, something just told me, you know, they finna come get me. And, you know, like I said, when I had my visit up here and got around the coaching staff, man, it was remarkable, you know. Definitely a great organization. And like I said, man, I'm so happy to be here and just get ready to go to work.
And if you saw the fans' reaction, guys, from the crowd, from the local establishments that, you know, you've seen on social media, the fans are happy he is here as well because they believe that if you give Jordan Love a bona fide weapon, this guy should elevate to number one. We can have that conversation as the morning goes on. Jordan Love has a chance to get better. Right? Like he needs to, I don't want to take anything off his plate. He needs to get better himself, right? He needs to elevate his play. But man, having a guy like this is going to make his life a whole hell of a lot easier, isn't it, Gabe?
Yeah, I mean, it should. Again, I don't know how quickly he's going to be able to get up to speed. That's going to dictate a lot of it. But to Chewy's earlier point, when you have 4.29 speed, Matt LaFleur is going to find a way to get you 2, 3, 4 touches every game just to see, And let's see what happens. This guy used to return kicks, had a couple kick return touchdowns, so that tells you he can be electric with the ball in his hands as well.
Guys, real quick. Real quick. Think about this. We can go to break.
Oh, we're thinking.
Oh, boy. And he's teasing? He's throwing to break on time?
Can they package Romeo Doubs with Jair and trade him them both today?
No.
Why?
Don't need to think too much.
Because nobody wants Jair. On
yeah,
that contract.
Package them with there's probably a market for Doubs.
Sure. But you're taking less. You would take Chewy, you would have to take less than you would for Doubs straight up because you're throwing in Doubs, so they take Jair because nobody wants that contract. You know what I'm saying? Like if you traded Doubs straight up for a sixth round pick, you would have to probably take a conditional seventh to trade Doubs and
Jair. They trade Doubs then? Can they trade him?
Could they? There's probably some value.
I don't think they have any desire to, though.
Why? He's not going to get another contract here.
No,
they're
he's not.
Watson.
They don't have
they're
Christian Watson.
Reed.
Yeah, but they want to be able to continue to have some depth at that position until they get healthy.
I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out. Don't yell at me. It's a Friday.
And you were right about Golden. We need to give you right.
Every time you say it, I got a plan.
I've got a question.
We didn't raise our voice.
What day can I yell at you? Can't yell at you on a Monday because it's a Monday. Can't yell at you on Friday because it's a Friday. Can't yell at you on Thursday because it's Blammer Thursday. Wednesday. Is Wednesday the designated yell day?
A, I've never heard you yell at anybody. You're too nice.
I have.
Oh, really?
Chewy's like, story time. Tell me about the yelling. The last nugget I want to mention, guys, is we have talked in this program about, you know, where some of the skill position players have played their college ball. It is not an indictment of playing at a smaller program. It is not an indictment of playing at a smaller school. But it is a reality that the competition they are going against is not the top tier. It is not the top athletes. It is not hell. The guys that you saw whose names were called last night and will be called tonight. But Texas is. Texas plays in the SEC. Texas plays a tough schedule. You have high-level competition. Hell, I'm looking at last year's schedule. They played Kentucky. So there is likely film of Matthew Golden going up against Max Hairston, the cornerback that we were talking about, maybe the Packers picking as well. This is top-tier talent. So this guy was week in and week out going against the best in college football, and the proof was in the pudding for what he can do. I am hopeful that because of that, the learning curve will be small. The transition will be smaller than it has been for some of the other guys at the skill position players for the Green Bay Packers. We have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. We will continue hearing from the newest Packer. We will discuss the direction that the Packers should go with their next picks, second, third, et cetera, et cetera. And we will talk to Jason Wilde, who will break down all things green and gold as the show rolls on. Stick around.
Grilling weather just around the corner. Let's be honest. If you really want to grill, grilling weather's here. I was grilling all week when I was back in Milwaukee. That means it's time to stop by Bunzel's like I did last weekend, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee, and I was making some of the chicken that came with the meat deal, and I was cooking some brats. But this week, you can pick up USDA choice of or higher T-Bones Porterhouse Steaks, $19.79 a pound. London broil roasts, $11.99 a pound. Chicken pesto stir fry, $8.99 a pound. Those kind of pre-stir fry things they have, fantastic. And they're super easy. Just throw them in a pan, heat them up, ready to go. And don't forget about Bunzel's monthly meat deal. A whole lot of meat starting at just $20.25. That's where I got my whole chicken that I grilled last week. Make plans to stop by Bunzel's 90th and Burleigh. You won't regret it. Find all their weekly specials at bunzels.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back coming to you live from the Tundra Trio just outside Lambeau Field. Green Bay showing up, showing out for round one of the NFL draft last night here in Green Bay. And I imagine there's some people who are making a weekend out of it, right? Who are going to enjoy and be here today and enjoy the rest of the time. But, man, what a splash the Green Bay Packers made by taking Matthew Golden, wide receiver, out of Texas with their first-round pick. And that's my computer that's talking back to me because I just pulled up the old YouTube stream. You can always stream the show on our YouTube stream on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. I'll just come back to that a little bit later. So, Gabe, I want to go through your emotions as the night was going on because we were sitting up on that stage just outside these doors here, and we were talking about how don't get too excited. Don't get too amped because I said to the guys, there's still 10 picks left before we get to the Packers. There's still 7 picks left before we get to the Packers. While there was a lot of talent still on the board, and really the Packers had their pick of which direction they could go, there could be a run at any moment on the guys you like, the players you want, and all of a sudden you're scrambling to figure out which guy you're taking and who you want. So I was tempering my emotions. I was trying not to get too hyped. But as we got a little closer and I saw that all those CBs were there, and then I saw that the wide receiver, Matthew Golden, was there, I thought, ooh, this could break really well for the Packers.
So I was operating under the obviously false pretense that if it wasn't Ted, it was going to be a wide receiver. But again, with those corners still being there, I was more partial to Jihadi Barron, but out of Texas, another Texas guy. But, I mean, Will Johnson there, you go, ooh. But I, for whatever reason, from around pick 13, 14, 15 and on, I kind of had the sinking feeling of, oh, this is going to be Josh Simmons.
Mm.
The offensive tackle who has a knee injury and still is on the board,
I was just going to say, he hasn't been picked yet.
Yeah, out of Ohio State, because he is the only, like, upper echelon offensive lineman they had in for a pre-draft visit. And for whatever reason, they have made it known that they're not the biggest fans of Rashid Walker. They think he's fine, but they keep trying to upgrade. And if they're going to pay Zach Tom, they're not going to pay Walker. So, you know, maybe Josh Morgan's more of a guard, and they know for a fact that this guy can play left tackle. Obviously, that's not the way they feel. But that was what I was, oh, man, this is going to be Simmons. This is going to be Simmons. It's going to be an offensive lineman. It's going to be disappointing. And I honestly could not believe it. Ashy, I don't know if you had my reaction as the pick was being read live. The guys on TMJ played it back for me when I was on with them this morning. Very excited. I jumped the gun. Like, Strophy wanted us all to stay calm and just, like, listen as Murphy was going. But the first time he went, and for the first time, like, he didn't even get to the year. Mm-hmm. It was for the first time, and I was just, it's Golden. I can't believe they're taking Golden.
I wonder if they flip, though. Let's say Golden went to Tampa Bay and Ibuka was on the board. I'd like to see their board. I mean, they're not going to tell you, obviously, now because they already picked the guy. Yeah. You know. I wonder if they would have taken Ibuka, or if they would have taken, if Pittsburgh didn't take Harmon at 21 and he fell to 23, would they have taken him?
Well, Chu, that's what we were saying. Like, you're so beholden to what is happening around you. But earlier this week, as we mentioned in the first segment, you said you liked Golden. What was it that you liked about him over Ibuka that maybe this is the same thing that the Packers brass were thinking?
I like the fact that his weaknesses, most of them were fixable by coaching. That's what I liked. You know, when you look at Tet, it says doesn't really have that next gear. See, the thing with this, here's, and I don't want to get too technical here, but when you add Golden and when Watson comes back, right, from his ACL injury, when you have two fast guys, you got to be careful about playing man, okay?
Yeah.
So if you're going to play cover one, right, which is single safety man under, and you have Watson and Golden, you miss a bump on either side, and that spells trouble for the defense, right?
Bye-bye.
Forget cover zero, because one of them is going to beat the other guy. If you play cover zero against those two guys, you're an idiot. And then you have...
If cover zero is being mentioned on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, doesn't that feel like an NFL music sort of moment there? I mean,
oh, wow.
If you're saying cover zero...
Wow, getting after Ashy.
Oh, I thought I was disguising it, but apparently not. No, that was very obvious.
What part of that was disguising it?
I don't know. I just thought, you know, I thought maybe... first of all, there's no way for me to communicate with the booth here. There's no way for me to communicate with
text.
Ashy. So I wanted
Josh
to be like...
Josh has a text.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to start calling for hotkeys.
I like it better this way.
If 10 was Ashy, you're an idiot, this was like a 9.
Well, I didn't even mention him by name, if we're being honest. I just said, like, hypothetically speaking, if Chewy's talking
there was no
about
hypothetical. I can replay that
zero.
Part. There
all
was
right,
no
perfect. Why don't we go ahead and play some NFL music while Chewy tells us about how Matthew Golden, there it is, Chewy,
okay,
cover
and then
zero,
the other
go.
Thing, the other thing teams like to play, obviously cover zero is just man across the board, nothing over the top. Cover seven is cover two, man underneath, which, hello, Tucker Kraft. Right? Because those two safeties are going to have to bail and help with the deep guys. Is this too technical for you? Because the corners.
Nope.
Yeah. Corners will be in a trail position, leaves the middle of the field wide open. So it's essentially one on one for Tucker Kraft. So, and I'm not, you know, this year it's going to be, like you said, you got to develop these guys. I'm looking farther down the road, year two, year three, where they're, now I think they're set up at this position. And then you go zebra package, which three receivers, one tight end, one back, which it's everyone's favorite. That's going to be tough to stop when you add Jaden Reed into the mix. So they're fine. Offensively, you're fine. Go get some linemen in the later rounds and work on the defense.
Well, and I love that you mentioned Jaden Reed there, too. Yep. Because if you're saying, hey, if you're playing man, again, this is once Christian Watson gets healthy, and you've got that speed on the outside of Watson and Matthew Golden, you're dumb to play man, so that means you have to play zone.
Yeah.
Guess who played really well against zone last
Jaden
year
Reed.
And struggled against
yeah,
man?
Yeah, exactly.
That opens up Jaden Reed as well.
So it's going to be interesting how they defend this offense now. It's going to be very interesting.
And again, if you are Matt LaFleur, which, by the way, they showed Matt LaFleur walking around the, what are they, I don't know if they call it the war room anymore, but they used to call it the war room, wherever it is that all of the brass gather. He was high-fiving. He was hugging. I mean, Matt LaFleur was very excited to get an offensive weapon, obviously, because as we have talked about, guys, he doesn't really get to weigh in all that much. I mean, Goody's buying the ingredients. He's cooking the meal, but he has an opportunity, obviously, to elevate this offense by adding a weapon like this. And again, I want to keep reminding people, the number two ranked receiver, well, three if you count Travis Hunter. He's always that wild card, right?
He's
Travis
unicorn,
Hunter
yeah.
is the one, and then Tet McMillan, and then Matthew Golden. I mean, the opportunity to get a guy that high on a lot of guys' big boards, a lot of guys' rankings, it's incredible.
Kuiper had him as the 16th best overall player.
Oh.
So again, like you're and to each their own, but that was maybe Kuiper's done this for a long time, so he is somebody that he really liked. And yeah, it goes back to what you're talking about with speed, Chew. You take a look at this offense, and yeah, I mean, as much as we like Josh Jacobs, he's not a big game breaker. He's a bruiser. And that's nothing wrong with that. That's the type of running back he is. It's fantastic. Had a great season last year. Even if you're fans of Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Doubs and think those guys still have more developing to do, same thing with Jaden Reed, they don't have this type of speed. And that speed just changes the way teams have to defend you. Speed is the name of the game on offense, and it's something the Packers have been lacking outside of Christian Watson.
Could you imagine if Golden was on the board and he went offensive line?
Yeah.
I mean
that's what we all
you said that you would have lost your mind, right?
Yeah,
that was Josh's line.
What I,
you can't lose what you don't have, obviously. Which, again, we can bring that back as many times as possible.
Can I imagine that, too? I was imagining it from pick 15 to 22. Like, that's all I was imagining.
And there's a lot of things here, and we got to take a break, and I want to get to Brian Gutekunst, who said why he picked Matthew Golden. I want to talk about how much closer it feels like the Packers wide receivers now are to the other wide receiver duos in the NFC North and in the NFC at large. Still so much to get to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of reaction rolling in. Almost universally, people are jacked. People are hyped. People are excited and now want to see what the Green Bay Packers do today, day two, and the rest of the weekend to make the roster better. We will take a break here live from the Tundra Trio just outside Lambeau Field. Stick around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
AB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody
here reveling in, celebrating the Packers' first-round pick of Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas. The reaction has been nearly unanimous. People very excited about adding him to that wide receiver core, adding him to the pass catchers unit. Although I did see one guy, don't even know who it was, who said, Packers still just have a bunch of number twos. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think you can take the third best wide receiver in this class, a guy who led Texas the way they did, nearly 1,000 yards last season. Again, I said plays in the SEC, so we're talking about top-tier talent, top-tier competition week in and week out. Was in the green room because he was expected to go high in the draft, right? They don't, yeah. I mean, again, other than Jalen Milroe, who chose to be there knowing that he was probably a day two pick, these guys knew that they were first-round picks. I don't think you can say he's a wide receiver two, Gabe.
Athletically speaking, he's the best athlete they have in there. Maybe he's not a one this year, but they're thinking he can be the one of the future.
We have Craig Karmazin joining us now. Craig, how are you feeling this morning? And I said this to you when I saw you yesterday, day before. I don't even know. They're all running together at this point. What you guys have done up here at the Tundra Trio, just outside Lambeau Field, hosting Unsportsmanlike just a few feet away from us, the celebration, the party. I really hope that in the quiet moments, you are taking a moment to say, we have done some really good stuff here. Have you done that yet, sir?
I have not done that yet, but I love that you said we, the second part, because
well,
I
you told me
to
I had to say
by,
we.
But by thanking you guys, because like it is such a team effort, and these have been crazy long days, and from the Fantasy Football Focus podcast on Wednesday night through everything yesterday, you and Gabe like have put in some of those marathon days and, you know, doing things for our fans and our partners. It's been an incredible effort.
You okay over there, big guy?
There's
Jen
three
and
people
Gabe,
here.
Jen and
got a little
Gabe,
bug in
you
your
have
throat,
been incredible.
We are on with Craig Karmazin. And, Craig, your reaction to the pick last night, your reaction to the Packers finally taking a wide receiver with their first-round pick.
It was so cool, and I think, you know, the board, I don't know the way you do. I don't follow it as closely, but it feels like it worked out well where they could go cornerback, they could go with the wide receiver that ultimately they took, and I'm not going to say it's because they were in Green Bay. I'm not going to say it was because it was Mark Murphy's last pick, first-round pick ever, but I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it was just like from the Clay Matthews open of the draft to the Packers selecting a wide receiver to one of the great moments for Wisconsin to be able to host something like this. It couldn't have been better. And I think for those of us who've been wanting the Packers to draft a wide receiver for the last 20 years, it all couldn't have come together better. And I love the pick for them. I love the pick for the drama of the division, you know, with the Bears adding a tight end and the Packers adding a wide receiver. So I loved it for the Packers, and I thought it was a great night for the NFC North.
Do you think the Packers okayed what Clay Matthews said, or was that organic?
I don't think they did, but who knows, right? Like, if the Packers okayed it, I don't think he would have said they would have okayed him saying, I talked to Donald Trump. Like, I think they would have been like, we're not making this political, we're not whatever. I think that Clay has gotten some lessons from AJ, who's gotten some lessons from Pat McAfee, and they know how to do the wrestling thing, and that's what that was all about. And I thought it was incredibly well executed, and it was a memorable moment for the ages.
Incredible moment for the state of Wisconsin, Craig, with 205,000 people in there. But I couldn't help but feel like really good for Mark Murphy because of how hard he had to work. I mean, how many times did the Packers get rejected for this, for the NFL draft?
A couple.
It felt like, oh, this is going to be the year. Oh, this is going to be the year. Oh, this is going to be the year before they finally actually landed it. And for him to be able to announce that, and again, the timing just all works out, that Matthew Golden happens to be the pick. That's the position that Packer fans have been clamoring for forever. And he kind of gets this great moment on his way out the door at the event that he brought in and is after winning a Super Bowl, this is probably the next line of his career highlights, bringing the biggest events, the biggest offseason events in the NFL to the league's smallest city.
Yeah, it's incredible. Wait, I just got to find out from Chewy. Chewy, did you like the Bears tight end more than Warren, or would you have gone Warren over?
I was surprised because I saw who's the Penn State head coach?
Franklin?
James Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin was talking about it, how people thought he was just kind of a gadget player, and he was saying, no, he was just that good an athlete that you really typically don't see with a tight end, that they used him in a different, different gadget plays in the offense because he was such an athlete. And he talked about how good of a basketball player he is.
Yeah, so then you were thinking Ben Johnson loves the gadget plays, so they would go him. Okay, so back to you, Gabe. Yeah, I think it did work out perfectly. I think Mark Murphy did an incredible job in building the district to make it possible and then in following through on it. But to me, it shows an arrogance from the NFL that is impressive. Like, it's an arrogance to say what the NBA is not willing to say, which is, hey, we don't care that you don't have airports in your state. We don't care that there's no direct flights. We don't care that there's no hotels. Like, people will just come because we're the NFL. You know what? We don't care about any of that. We are so arrogant. We know if we do it, people will just show up. And you know what? The NFL proves itself. As I used to be like, Chewy, the NFL just thinks they can do anything they want, and it's just going to work out. And you know what? The NFL time and time again
Craig,
proves
do you think
it can.
Do you think that's golf-related? Because there was talk of the Ryder Cup, and obviously we had the U.S. Open, and those went off seamlessly. You know, you think gave them confidence?
Well,
like, hey,
numbers?
We can pull it up.
I mean, but the hotels and I think the Ryder Cup gives you a little tip on that, and maybe the RNC gives you a little tip on that because you know the DNC wasn't executed the way it was going to be, but. I mean, it still takes guts. And I think the NFL is just like, hey, you know what? This is a really cool vision. Lambeau Field, Green Bay, it's historic. It's unique. It's the smallest. It'll play well on TV. And you know what? Those Packer fans, if people can't fly and if there's no airports, the Packers fans will fill up that spot of 125,000. We don't know how they will. They just will because we're the
NFL. And they crushed it. They crushed it.
Yeah.
Every time, I said earlier, every time they showed an aerial, every time they were panning the crowd, it was everything you could have imagined, everything you could have hoped for and more. For all of the hand-wringing, for all of the concern, for all of the video clips of Cam Ward walking around in advance of the draft saying, there's nothing to do here, I want to be picked, and I want to get out of here. There was somebody like Matthew Golden or somebody like Tet McMillan saying, no, I like this place. Max Harrison saying, I like this place. I like the Packers.
I love
I like
how
Green
Jen,
Bay.
The wide
like,
receivers who were hoping – the wide receivers who were hoping to get picked were all the ones like, yeah, Green Bay's cool. I love it.
Yeah, but you know what? Cam Ward, obviously, like that gained traction headed into the draft because it was posted an hour or so before everything went. And it was like, oh, man, can we not like step into the narrative of I don't want to be here. This place sucks. Like, can we, you know, whatever. So, again, I was happy to see that there were other players who were like, hey, no. The Packers are the Packers, man. You can't take away the historic nature. You can't take away any of the cool things. Lambeau's legit. Like, all of those comments, I love hearing from them.
Jen, question for you, though. Now, give me best dressed and give me worst dressed. Goodell looked like a clown with the white shoes. Dress your age. Even Ange is like, put a pair of dress shoes on. You're not 23 years old. You look ridiculous. I'll give you the worst one. The green pinstripe, terrible, awful. Who was best? Who was worst?
I think everyone knows the best was Kyle Wallace, right, from KVN?
Did you hear me say last night, Craig, that I could have brought Kyle Wallace into the green room with me, and I think I could have confused a few people thinking that he was a draft pick?
Absolutely.
I mean, like, look at this prospect, Kyle Wallace, out of UW-Whitewater. They would have been like, I'm sorry, what? But he looked so good, he could have fit in with those guys. Let me think on that, too, because I saw all the guys in here. Before we let you go, Craig.
Except someone asked him if he was Eddie Lacy, which is, I don't think, a big compliment.
No, if you lost a lot of weight, yeah, maybe. But.
Wait, Jen, did you, when the Packers drafted, it was one of the coolest moments I've ever seen at the Tundra Trio because, you know, at the Tundra Trio, you can hear the crowd, like, our, you know, the house is right across the street.
you can hear when there's a touchdown. So before it comes over the TV or whatever, you hear the crowd go crazy. When the pack and Gabe, you had your headphones on because you were on the air. Jen, were you able to hear that explosion when they announced wide receiver, when Murphy said it's going to be a wide receiver?
So I was inside.
Also hosting.
Yeah, I was inside, Craig, eating my dinner, and I saw the name flash on Twitter, and I ran outside. And it was cool because Ben Brust was on stage, Brian Bulaga was on stage, Mark Tauscher was on stage. Listen to me name dropping. And they didn't know who the pick was.
Honestly, so, of all those things you said, I'm jealous that you got to eat dinner last night. Of all the things that you just named and listed off.
It's a great point.
I'm like, there was dinner?
You would have. I was housing. It was like it was very unbecoming, if we're being honest. But the point is, they didn't know.
Jen did all of this energy. Lots of work on stage.
I had all this energy. I had all this energy from knowing the pick, and they didn't know, and it was so cool to watch them react in real time after hearing the crowd at Lambeau Field react to the pick of Matthew Golden. Craig, I do want to get to Bucks quickly.
Well, it's just one question. All you need to know about Craig is this. Where are you going to be, Craig? Is it going to be up here, Tundra Trio, night two of the draft, or game three?
I will be at Fiserv Forum for the Bucks Game 3 victory. Congratulations to John Horst on his contract extension. Bucks go to 2-1 with a win tonight in Milwaukee. The crowd is going to be electric. They sat and watched all that Indiana stuff for 2 games, and this crowd will be ready to explode tonight.
Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. Go Bucks, and I'm sure that the Packers will continue to make good picks as the weekend goes on.
I think Chewy joins me in thanking Ben and Gabe for all your hard work over the last few days.
Yes.
Was I not here?
You were here.
Speaking of a snob.
You guys, well, Craig, somebody made the mistake of putting a headset on Josh yesterday, so now he really thinks he's important.
Craig Lee.
Oh, Josh.
Craig's...
Oh, no. I also commend Joshy. Joshy was working behind the scenes. Joshy at 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night, I don't know if he did. He claimed he was going to empty the bathroom of the paper towels. Like, Joshy was doing
goodness.
Things.
Can we get him off the – can we just drop him? Like, what are we doing right now? We're talking about toilet paper. This is – we had a really good show going, and now we're just – Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is known for its endless ways to win. Bye, Craig. Bye. Friday, June 27th, Potawatomi is showing why that's the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Be there to win your share June 27th. It is only at Potawatomi. More information online. Must be 21 years old to play. We have a special guest hanging out with us here at the Tundra Trio. And some of the coolest moments that I saw last night in the first round of the draft were because of this guy. Stick around. Like a oof, like instead of a huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of
you
taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it.
What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here at the Tundra Trio just outside of Lambeau Field as we continue to revel and celebrate the Packers' first-round pick of Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas. Chewy did a great breakdown of how Matthew Golden helps the Packers. If you missed any of that, you can always find it on the YouTube stream where we stream every single show and on the ESPN Wisconsin app where we push all of our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy content. We are so lucky to be joined now right here in the Tundra Trio with Ike Winter. And if you've heard that name a lot lately, it is well-deserved because Ike is the guy who put together all of the wood images that you saw on the tunnel that every single one of the first-round draft picks who was in attendance last night walked past. Ike, thank you so much for joining us. I can see it in your face. This experience has been crazy for you.
Yeah, it's been, overwhelming, just surreal, every type of word that was, could be used in this moment.
Tell everybody how you got started, how you got hooked up with the NFL in the first place.
Honestly, they cold reached out to me. They were just like, hey, we have a project in mind for you. We found your art online, and we have something in mind for you. And their initial concept was this, can you make 32 giant logos out of wood? I don't stain or paint any of the art that I use or any of the wood that I use. So we kind of ruled out the option of color right away. I mean, the Tennessee Titans, I'm like, that's like five colors. I can't find all that. So, yeah, we just decided to recreate every single logo out of like a wood tone format.
We are showing it on the YouTube stream right now. If you haven't gotten a chance to see Ike's work, take a look at it. It is also available on your Instagram feed. What's your Instagram account?
Ike_winter.
And it's really incredible. I think that, Gabe, the thing that impressed me the most was how long it took. You said it was 700 hours that Ike was working on this project.
How do you know when you're good at something like this, right? Like, for me, oh, you talk a lot. Here's a microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw you on the radio. Like, this is such a specific and unique skill set that you have. Like, how do you even discover, like, this is something that you're good at?
It was true. I started it as a hobby and, like, curiosity. It was never to sell stuff on Etsy or to, like, make money off of this. It was, like, I kind of got a little bored and needed a hobby in my mid-20s. And I grew up, like, cutting wood and being comfortable around saws. So I was like, why don't I just, like, try cutting wood every night? I was not an artsy kid. I didn't take art classes. I never went to college. So, like, the whole me doing art is so foreign to me, like, for real. But, yeah, I mean, I just started it one day, kept doing it, and really I saw, like, what people were interested in with it, with my storytelling and the way I did it. So I just kind of kept doubling down and, like, okay, people find this interesting. People don't know that wood artists exist in the world, so that's a cool, like, starting point. I'm just very passionate and curious about my craft and sharing it with the world.
Ike Winter joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Okay, so we're watching as the players have this incredible moment in their career, the culmination of all their hard work. They are walking down the tunnel, and then all of a sudden, Ike, they start smacking.
Everyone started smacking my art.
Wood, the art of the team that just drafted them. What was your reaction in that moment? Travis Hunter was the first one to do it, just pounding away on that logo.
My phone, the first, it was like, congrats, I just saw the art on TV, and then every text message is like, bro, just slapped your art. Like, what's that? Like, I mean, very, very surreal. You know, these clips, first of all, congrats to all the players from last night, and these clips are going to live on forever, and this is going to be talked about. So, like, the fact that that's my art that they're, you know, hitting and so proud of, and that they're proud of these organizations that are drafting them is, like, the fact that I'm a part of that is the coolest thing in the world.
What logo was the hardest one to make?
The Jaguars was my favorite and the hardest, which is just very iconic and ironic. Like, my brother,
the spots, right?
The spots and the colors blending and everything. And my family texted me. They're just like, well, so much for your favorite logo. Like, the dude just slapped. Yeah. Yeah. So that was like the hardest. Buccaneers was pretty tough. And honestly, the Browns. So the Browns, even though it's just a helmet, yeah, all the illustration lines is pretty intricate.
Because
yeah,
it's just the one color, but it has all of the edging.
The
right?
Edging and the illustration lines, that piece of wood is the longest I've ever cut one piece of wood in my entire life. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah.
Ike Winter joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy inside the Tundra Trio. Okay, what's next for you, Ike? I mean, this has taken your career and just absolutely catapulted it into the stratosphere. People know your name. You're a household name. It's great that you're a Wisconsin guy and that the NFL commissioned a Wisconsin guy to make the art for the draft in Wisconsin. What's next?
I mean, the nice thing is I'll always be a Milwaukee guy. I'm always going to be sitting in my studio in Milwaukee cutting wood. What happens on Monday morning when I go back to my studio? I don't really think too much about it, to be honest. I'm grateful for here today and experiencing the rest of the draft here and, you know, seeing what comes of it. But at the end of the day, I have some ideas in my head that I want to do. We'll see what emails and DMs come through. I don't get too wrapped up in, like, the what-ifs of the future. I have the people that I want to build art for and some bigger brands and celebrities and stuff, but they'll come in due time. I'm a very, like, day-by-day person.
Well, so, what's on the docket for today? Are you going to check out more of the draft? What are you doing?
Honestly, this whole week has been filled with, like, hey, you're going here, here, and here. So, like, today, I think my last interview's at, like, 2 o'clock, and then, like, 3 o'clock, I want to, like, see some friends that are up here and actually, like, go to some different bars and events and, like, enjoy and actually see what people are experiencing, you know? Like, I'm a Wisconsinite and a kid from Milwaukee, so, like, I would probably be driving up here and experiencing this whether I was involved or not. So I'm looking forward to that aspect of it today for sure.
As a Wisconsin person, as a Packers fan, what was your reaction to the pick last night? Was it like so many people who were just like, I can't believe they did it?
Yeah, and I was honestly near the stage. So hearing 100,000 voices behind me all screaming and then seeing him walk out and just be a part of the Green Bay community, like, it was very cool for the team that I was with and have been working with. They're all out-of-towners, so I've been, like, showing them and kind of explaining what Milwaukee and Wisconsin and Green Bay is all about. So I think they got the message last night when they got to see our pick and see, you know, Golden go out there and just embrace the community. So that was just – it was the most Wisconsin-Green Bay thing I think that could have happened.
Well, and I also think it's a Wisconsin thing as we wrap up here with Ike Winter, who created all of the artwork that you saw on the tunnel from the green room to the stage last night and frankly all weekend long. You're going to see it here at the NFL draft. I think it's very Wisconsin that you were like cutting wood in your studio, minding your own business. You had mentioned how you had taken some time off. You were working on your mental health, but then you got back into it and bloop. The NFL is just like, hey, can you do us a little favor?
Yeah.
Can you make some art for the NFL draft? And now you have just exploded. It is so freaking awesome, and I hope that you are able to take it all in this weekend.
I appreciate that. It speaks to, I think, I mean, I love that our state is very gritty and very blue-collar, and, like, the fact that they looked for a wood artist to bring this project to life, it was a cool touch and a move by the NFL, for sure, to, like, go local with this project. And I was with the creative team when they all started slapping the art last night. And there's like, all right, this is a good idea. Like, we loved it. Like, the art coming off the wall, looking 3D, like, they're just like, yeah, I think Monday morning we're going to be kind of highlighted and praised for the project we brought together. So,
congrats, yeah. Man.
Appreciate you.
The only thing that people are asking on the Carbless Talk and Text line is, what happens to the art when the draft is over?
I don't know how much I can speak to it. Until yesterday, I had zero insight about it. Last night, the NFL was just like, okay, we got to do something with this.
Woo!
We just, honestly.
That's exciting.
By the time they contacted me and we started working on the project, it was like, hey, we'll figure that out later.
100%.
I only had 64 days to do this project. I started on Valentine's Day, so I had 2 days per logo.
Mm.
So we just couldn't shore up, like, what were all the final details of everything. It was like, just build it. We'll figure that all out. After talking to a few people last night, it sounds like they might be auctioned to the teams, some charities. I don't know if it's going to be auctioned to the world. I don't know. We're going to do something with them, it sounds like.
Amazing.
But who knows?
Absolutely amazing. Ike Winter, a Milwaukee guy, a Mequon guy, whose art was on full display for night one of the NFL draft and will continue to be as the weekend goes on. Congratulations on all the success. It is absolutely well earned. We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and roll on right after this. Thanks, man.
Thank you.